Hi, Happy New Year. This is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you to episode 132 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? That's Who's Paying Attention. I am. And you know something? I guess I should call this Who's Paying Attention episode 132 2.0, because I actually recorded this whole podcast earlier today, and my GarageBand app on my Mac just decided to disappear, and it was gone. So I'm recording the podcast again. Now, it's interesting because there's been sort of a news story since I did the podcast this afternoon. By the way, it is Saturday, January 2nd. Again, Happy New Year. Okay, we made it through the holidays. Whatever you celebrate, Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, I hope you got what you wanted. I hope you saw the family or didn't see the family, whichever way you wanted that to go. I hope you ate too much or didn't eat too much, whichever way you wanted that to go. And I hope you had a Happy New Year. And here we are. Look, it's 2016. Now, you know, we weren't supposed to make it this far. You remember back in 2012 when a great patriots like Ted Nugent and Rush Limbaugh said, once Obama's reelected, the country's never going to make it. We're out at World War III, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, whatever the hell was going to end. It was all going to be over. Instead, we have gas at $2 a gallon in most of the country. It's over $3 a gallon here in California, but they like to screw us Californians. It's the refineries. It's always the refineries. You would think at this point, the PR people at the oil companies could come up with a better lie than the refineries. But why? Since it still works. So anyway, that's all done. The holidays are done. Here we are. Here I am again. Now, the story I was talking about. Apparently, while I was at the Clipper game this evening, enjoying another Clipper victory over the 76ers, granted, five guys listening to this podcast could probably beat the 76ers, but we'll take it as a win because I'm a Clipper fan. Militiamen have taken over a building in Oregon. Okay, this story, this fascinates me on a number of levels. The main one being, I heard something about it or I saw something about it on Twitter during the game while I was tweeting my Clipper jokes. And I came home and I turned on CNN and MSNBC and even Fox News, and nobody's covering this. There's a militia that took over a federal building and nobody's covering it. That is fascinating to me. So here's what I know of this story, and I'm just reading this because I had to look it up on the internet. So a militia with ties to Cliven Bundy. Remember Cliven Bundy, the guy who was ranching on federal land in Nevada and had the standoff with the government? He had all the, he had armed militiamen pointing guns at federal agents, and everyone talked about the fact that, you know, nobody, like, imagine if Black Lives Matter protesters had just lined up with guns or whatever, or any sort of Muslim group, Syrian group, etc., a group of Mexicans protesting the border, whatever. But we all talked about it. They were supported by Rand Paul. They were supported by Fox News. They were called patriots. And then their leader, Cliven Bundy, went on a racist rant. Imagine our surprise. And they all backed off. Anyway, that's the guy. His sons are part of these militiamen who are occupying the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge headquarters and visitor center in Oregon. It is a federal building. It's not being used right now. It's closed on the weekends. Parts of it are closed for the winter. But Ammon Bundy, whatever, called upon fellow militia members to come prepared. You know what that means, son of a bitch. You bring your guns with you. Come prepared for some shit. They're protesting because there were two ranchers, Dwight Hammond Jr. and his son Stephen. These guys had burned, they set a fire to clear some land. It was federal land. They're not supposed to burn these plants off of this land. It's arson. They went to jail for a few months. And I'm just getting this from the article I read. Went to jail for a few months. They got out. The federal judge said, no, you have to do the full sentence, which is a few years. So they're supposed to go back to jail on Monday. There was a protest, a march, you know, the typical right-wing militia, the federal government's out to get us. We don't have to. They're mad at the sheriff for not fighting the federal government to keep these guys out of jail. These people really need to learn how the government works. Anyway, after all of that, the armed militiamen took over this building, said they've been planning it. Ammon Cliven Bundy's son says they're prepared to be there for years and everything else. All over Twitter, there's two things I see on Twitter. I saw, and again, I hate quoting Twitter. It's not the news source, but maybe it is. Maybe we're at that point. Maybe I'll stop fighting it. There's some threads where Muslims and black people are talking about the fact that, you know, Tamir Rice was a 12-year-old with a toy gun who was shot instantly. These guys are grown armed men, and the government doesn't even, we don't even know what the response is because the news isn't covering it. And then I saw a Muslim talk about, right-wing white men armed taking over a building is patriotism, and him praying at his mosque is scary and dangerous. And man, if you saw the hatred that was posted toward him, the names he was called, the hate, you know, the go back home, I don't know. So that I hate that being my first story of my podcast for the new year, but that's what it is. I don't know how this is going to go. I don't know if you'll ever even hear about this because it's not being covered. I do know the Clippers won, and they won big against the Sixers. That's all I got for today. Now I'm going to get into the podcast that I recorded earlier because even there have been new developments. I need to not leave the news because when I leave the news, there's always something new. So I was talking about the fact that, you know, in 2016, Trump won't go away. I thought it would be over by now. I thought he'd have come up with some exit strategy and he'd be standing on the sideline. But no, he's still there. He's still right in the middle of it. PolitiFact, that's the group that fact checks what politicians say, what's said on the Sunday morning shows, whatever. They basically awarded him their Lie of the Year award for his lie about Muslims cheering, thousands of Muslims in the streets of New Jersey after 9/11 cheering. He also got honorable mention for his lie about most white people are killed by black people. Well, now he's got a new one. Just today, and it's amazing where he tells, you know, where he does these speeches. So this one's in Biloxi, Mississippi. Yeah. Anyway, he says that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, he blamed them for the rise of the Islamic State. And he these are quotes. They have a bunch of dishonest people, he continued. They've created ISIS. Hillary Clinton created ISIS with Obama. There you go. See, there was all this question about how did ISIS form? Where did it come from? What's going on with the terrorist cells? Who knows who? He just broke it down. Barack Obama, who, as you know, has been busy ever since he was palling around with terrorists in the 60s when he was 8 years old. Under the radar, maybe when he was a senator, maybe when he was a community activist. I don't know when, but yeah, he created ISIS with Hillary Clinton. Since she was Secretary of State, it would probably have to be since 2008. You know, in between fixing the economy, bailing out the American auto industry, the price of gas dropping, fixing that whole mortgage mess and getting bin Laden. In between all of that, he started ISIS. Some bitch, I knew some bitch was involved in Muslim. I told you from the start, some bitch is a Muslim, and now he got terrorist ties. Shit, NASCAR. If you don't know what that is my right-wing American impression, and NASCAR is the code word for whenever they start talking crazy. So you'll just hear that out of me now and then, and when you do, well, now you know what I'm talking about. Amazing. Donald Trump says that, and I hate talking about it, but you have to now because there's no other news. A militia takes over a building. That's like treason. That's like directly in conflict with federal laws and nothing is done or said. You know, I mean, that's amazing to be an armed group and take over a federal building. I don't care if it is a remote building that belongs to the Fish and Game or wildlife parks or it's still, that's amazing. But anyway, that's not news. Donald Trump is news. You know, I talked about, you know, if it was Black Lives Matter that did this, what would happen? Listen, Tamir Rice, this case, I'm not joking about, I'm tired of, but Tamir Rice, as just about everybody knows, is a 12-year-old kid in Cleveland, Ohio, that was shot by a cop. And this cop was not indicted, okay? Tim Lohman was, they said he was afraid. And, you know, it's the same old story, okay? This is my thing with Black Lives Matter. I love the movement, but you know something? They don't, okay? They don't. Stop pretending that Black Lives Matter, because they don't. Because this was a 12-year-old kid with a toy gun that was shot by an overzealous, undertrained, unqualified cop. And those aren't my words. Those are the words of the police department that got rid of him. Okay, the police department in Independence, Ohio, declared him unfit. The supervisor wrote that Lohman could not follow simple directions, could not communicate clear thoughts. His handgun performance was dismal. He said, "I do not believe time nor training will be able to change or correct the deficiencies." Well, that wasn't bad enough for Cleveland. Cleveland still made him a cop. Now, this is why, okay, they say this wasn't a crime. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. It was a crime. And if it wasn't a crime directly against the cop, it's an indictment of everything that happened that led to this 12-year-old kid getting shot. By the way, this is a 12-year-old black kid. Studies have been done, okay? Just like black men, like myself, we have super strength. And that's why Michael Brown was killed. And that's why whenever they kill a black man, they have to shoot him because, you know, a bunch of officers tackled him, but black men have super strength. And with that super strength, you have to shoot and kill him. Well, the other superpower we have is we mature very fast. So a 12-year-old looked like a man, you know, because he was tall. And they did a study where they showed black kids, you know, 10, 11, 12-year-old kids. And the group that was studied, mostly white people, were like, oh, that kid is 16, 17, or 18. And then the white kids, oddly enough, were considered younger and more innocent. It's a mess. But anyway, this is the call. These are quotes from the call made to the dispatcher. The caller called 911. He said, "I'm sitting in a park by the West Boulevard Rapid Transit Station. And there's a guy, like a pistol, you know, it's probably fake, but he's like pointing it at everybody. Dispatcher, where are you at, sir?" "I'm sitting in the park at West Cuddle, West Boulevard, by the West Boulevard Rapid Transit Station." "Dispatcher, so you're at the Rapid Transit Station?" "Caller, no, I'm sitting across the street at the park." "What's the name of the park?" "Cuddle." "Yes, Cuddle." "Okay." "Dispatcher, what does he look like?" "He has camouflage hat on." "Dispatcher, is he black or white?" "Caller, he has a gray coat with black sleeves, gray pants on." "Dispatcher, is he black or white?" "Caller, I'm sorry. Dispatcher, is he black or white?" "He's black." "He's got a camo jacket." "Dispatcher, he's got a camo jacket and gray pants?" "Caller, and I'm sorry I'm laughing, because this dispatcher, it's almost like a who's on first, how hard they're trying to get this story wrong." "Caller, no, he has a camo hat on. Do you know what that is?" "Dispatcher, yeah." "The caller, Desert Storm," describing camo, I guess. "And his jacket is gray. It's got black sleeves, etc." "So, caller, hello?" "Dispatcher, do you have a gun?" "Caller, no, I don't. I was getting ready to leave. You know, he's near the youth center. He's pulling it in and out of his pants. I don't know if it's real or not." "Oh, dispatcher, okay, we'll send a car." Now, the caller said that the suspect was probably a juvenile and said he didn't know if the gun was fake or not, a toy or whatever, if it's real or not. The dispatcher calls the cop car. This is what she said, he or she says. In the park by the youth center, there's a black male sitting on the swings. He's wearing a camouflage hat and a gray jacket with black sleeves. He keeps pulling a gun out of his pants and pointing it at people. Now, that is completely different than saying there's a juvenile who may be aiming a gun that might be a toy. You can see where the cop would come at that a little differently. It's horrible. It's a shame. It happened again. It will happen again. I don't know what to say. The crime is the system. The dispatcher should be held responsible. The cops who did the shooting should certainly be held responsible. You know why? Because Ohio's an open carry state. Some bitch, open carry means I carry my gun anytime, anywhere. I carry my gun to the grocery store. I carry my gun to the park, sit on the swings. Because it's an open carry state. That means that an adult can openly carry a weapon. So if the assumption is that Tamir, the 12-year-old, is an adult, and if the assumption is that the toy gun is a real gun, so what? So what? You don't get out of a police car and open fire, right? You say, hey, drop the gun. What are you doing with the gun? You ask a question or something. No, you shoot him in 2.7 seconds. Yeah, okay. Black Lives Matter? No, I'm afraid they don't. And there's a lot of people who have no problem with that. One of the people that does have a problem with it is President Barack Obama. And Barack Obama is working with the Attorney General, and there's going to be a statement coming. It may be part of the State of the Union address. It may be before that. But apparently he's working on some form of executive order to increase the level or the need or something of background checks. Listen, there has to be a federal law about guns because, and it's been proven repeatedly, sure, guns may be illegal in Chicago, but they're not in Gary, Indiana. So you drive 2 hours away and get a gun. The guns that are illegal here in Los Angeles are easy to get in Nevada and Arizona. So you drive for a few hours and you load up on them and bring them back. Is that the only way guns are getting here? No, but at least make it a little more difficult. You know, I went through this story before, the representative out of Missouri who said getting a gun as difficult as it is to get an abortion is even better than me. I just said make it like getting a car and a driver's license where you have to register it and be licensed and trained. But I don't know if anything will be done because this is my prediction, what I think will happen. Barack Obama will sign the executive order. Immediately, it will be challenged in the courts by the NRA and all the congressional puppets of the NRA, and it'll drag back and forth till it gets to the Supreme Court many years, many mass shootings from now. So we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. And you know something? I hope I'm wrong. Okay, speaking of wrong, Bill Cosby was indicted, arrested, and arraigned in Pennsylvania for one of the many rapes he's accused of. Apparently, this one still falls within the statute of limitations. Okay, so the victim, Andrea Constand, went to the police. They investigated. At some point in the civil suit or allegation, whatever, at some point in this, Cosby admitted to buying Quaaludes he used for, and we all know the story. Well, now the story becomes legal. And you know something? I'm so torn about this. Not torn about is he guilty, because you know, initially it was like, I can't believe it. And very quickly it was like, where there's smoke, there's fire. So I'm guilty. He's guilty of something. But, you know, it's like, this is Bill Cosby. This was America's dad. This was the greatest comedian on earth for years. This was the guy who just ruled comedy in the 80s, you know, 70s, 60s. We all remember various Cosby routines. And all of that's gone because this is a horrible thing and a horrible person doing these things. And it's hard for me to say that with all the, you know, donations to United Negro College Fund and all of that. But But here's the thing about this case, and this is why, and this is just my opinion, but why this case is important is because it validates a lot of women who weren't heard. And again, I was initially guilty of that, and I'm sorry. When I said, you know, I was one of those who believed a lot of them are in it for the money. But they're, and I don't know about that. I don't know how the money is going to play out or any of that. But I will say this, that there are a lot of women here who just felt invalid, who felt unimportant, and who felt like they're not heard. And Bill Cosby getting arrested says somebody heard you. And it legitimizes these women's accusations. And I don't know if that provides any peace for them, any peace of mind or anything. I have no idea. But that's what happened. Bill Cosby's been arraigned and arrested. He wasn't charged with rape. He was charged with a form of assault, aggravated indecent assault. And that has to do with the legal definitions. But yeah, that's it. So, you know, that's the story on that. I don't have anything more to add to that. I'm going to just jump into another thing because this shit is bad. I didn't want to start this year. I didn't want to start my podcast this year with all this negative shit. Not that I'm the most optimistic person in the world. I know a lot of you out there, and God bless you. We need you. Man, if we were all cynics like me, it'd be a horrible place. But these are the stories, you know. Personally, I had an interesting experience. I got scammed by a sneaker salesman. I'm a bit of a sneakerhead. People who know me know that. I'm not a crazy sneakerhead. I don't have 1,000 pair, but I like sneakers. And I tried to buy a pair of Air Jordans from a guy online, and it all looked legit, and he answered the emails and blah, blah, blah. And ultimately, I sent the money, and I didn't get my sneakers. Now, I've done this before. I've bought things off the internet before. I've never used this Vimeo or Vino, whatever the service was. I usually use PayPal. That's a lesson, because in PayPal, you have recourse for scamming. This other service, you don't. And I got ripped off. And the tuition for the lesson learned is $300. And I, you know, it bothered me some. Could have been a lot worse. This guy was trying to sell me some more sneakers for a lot more money. Guess he knew he had a sucker on the line, tried to get me for all he could. But I got to thinking about other times being ripped off online. And you know something? The airlines get me every time I change a ticket. Every time I change the spelling of a name. There was a time when my passport had my name spelled wrong. You can't imagine how much trouble that seemingly simple thing caused. Because if you try to change the name on an airline ticket, that's a change, and that costs $200. So every time an airline makes a click of a computer key, that costs me $200. So looking at it that way, the $300 sneaker ripoff ain't that bad. Ain't that bad. Didn't hurt that much. So watch out, kids. Be smart when you buy something on the internet. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it again, but next time I do it, I would do it through eBay, and I would use PayPal. Plain and simple, because there are protections there. That's just a little side story. You know, you got your own problems. I got my own problems. You know who got their own problems right now? FanDuel and DraftKings, the single game fantasy sports leagues that are, you know, games of skill, not gambling. Okay. Listen up, pay attention. It's gambling, all right? It's gambling. I'm going to say it one more time. It's gambling. You're betting on fantasy sport. You're betting on. It is gambling. And I have no problem with that, but stop pretending it's not gambling. Well, who does have a problem with it? There's a few people, starting with the state of Nevada, followed closely by the state of New York, and now the state of Illinois. And what's going on is the attorney general in New York is taking them to court. The attorney general filed a lawsuit against DraftKings and FanDuel asking to give back all the money they made in New York State. So we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. And look, it's gambling, okay? And gambling online in the United States is illegal. What's interesting to me about this is the people defending them, the protests. Now, some of the protesters, it's already been proven, are employees of FanDuel and DraftKings, but a lot of them aren't. These people, these are gamblers who have lost their money on this website, fighting to keep the website open so they continue to gamble and keep losing money. Now, damn it, that is some marketing. All right, that is some marketing that my hat's off to you. I don't know what's going to happen here, but I think that we're going to see that we're seeing the beginning of the end of FanDuel and DraftKings. They once sponsored my podcast. That stopped. They sponsored Bill Burr's, and he was calling it gambling while they were sponsoring him, and they dropped him. And somehow I think Bill has survived. Anyway, that's what's going on with that. If you want to get your bets down, maybe the Super Bowl might be your last big run on FanDuel and DraftKings. I'm not going to try to explain fantasy sports. Basically, you pick players, you get points based on their performance. In these particular sites, the better a bad player performs. In other words, normally you'd bet on the superstars in any sport. Okay, quarterback Aaron Rodgers, basketball player LeBron James, and you play fantasy sports against your friends. You try to be a general manager, put together a team, and win. With these, you get the most points for picking the least known athlete that does the best. There was a case where an employee of one, I don't know if he was employed by DraftKings using inside information to bet on FanDuel or employed by FanDuel using inside information to bet on DraftKings. But either way, it showed that there's information that you don't get that is used in setting up these games and the odds and the winning and the payoffs. And like any gambling operation, the big winners are very few people who are devoted to this, who work it like a job, okay? But it's still gambling. It's not a game of skill. You know, poker, listen, professional poker players are highly skilled. Poker is still gambling. Same thing, there are blackjack players who are very skilled at blackjack. Skilled, mathematically, they figured the game out. They know what they're doing. Blackjack is still gambling. I'm not against it. I'm just saying there's a problem. What's funny to me, and when I say funny, I mean hypocritical. The NCAA is not allowing any ads for these online fantasy sports sites during the NCAA tournament. So they're not going to let you do FanDuel or DraftKings. Now, this is the same NCAA that's making a fortune off of these college athletes. Look at a college football bowl game. See how many jerseys are in the stands that match the number of that star quarterback or running back. You think he's getting any of the money? You think any of those basketball jerseys? Did Michael Jordan get any money while he was in college? I don't think so. Who got the money? Oh, yeah, the NCAA and the schools. So they're really hypocrites on this, but even they're not allowing it. And it's going to come to an end. But, you know, the Super Bowl, I think it'll be here for the Super Bowl. So you might want to get your money down on that. You might also want to get a hoverboard while you can. Don't know about these hoverboards, apparently. Now, you've seen the hoverboards. They're the... I almost said the latest craze, and then I remembered I'm not a radio DJ from 1974. Hoverboards are these plastic boards. They have two wheels on the big wheels on both ends. Aircraft, we would call it outboard ends. I don't know how else you describe it. But anyway, you stand in the middle, and when you move, it looks like you're hovering. They actually look cool. They look like fun. Except to Mike Tyson, who fell off of one. Just go ahead and Google that on YouTube and you get to laugh at the champ. The champ went down. He was laughing. That's why I'm saying it. I wouldn't make fun of him if he wasn't laughing. He's Mike Tyson, for God's sake. Anyway, they have lithium ion batteries. And when you charge these batteries, or sometimes for no apparent reason, these batteries catch fire and the hoverboards go up in smoke. One of the things about that is airlines do not allow hoverboards on the plane because it's bad to have something in the cargo hold that just might spontaneously combust. Nobody told Russell Crowe. So Russell Crowe goes to Virgin Airlines in Australia. They won't let him on the flight with his hoverboard, or maybe it was his kid's hoverboard or something like that. Russell Crowe has a meltdown, says, "I'll never fly your airline again," blah, blah, blah. But listen, I think there's most of the time more chance that Russell Crowe will spontaneously combust than the hoverboard. But the hoverboard is risky. If you have Russell Crowe money, you know what you do? You fly wherever you're going, you buy another hoverboard. Seriously. I mean, you have hundreds of millions of dollars. Go ahead and drop, you know, what is it, $200, whatever the hell they cost, when you get to, hey, use the $300 I lost on sneakers. Russell, you start running a sneaker scam online, you get $300 a hit for sneakers, use that to buy a hoverboard wherever you land. Just quit whining. Jeez. Natalie Cole passed away. Very sad, very talented. She did an amazing duet with her father on the song Unforgettable, and she had a bunch of other hits, and she was a classy lady, and I was lucky enough to meet her on one of the jazz cruises I did. More painful to me, because it's more personal to me, Meadowlark Lemon died. Now, it's always a thing when a public figure or celebrity dies, because we're from different generations, right? We're from different eras. And when someone from your era dies, it hits more. Meadowlark Lemon, for me, as a kid growing up in the 60s and 70s, was the Globetrotters. I can picture in my head right now Meadowlark Lemon in the midst of that circle, smiling, yelling, passing the ball, fake passing the ball. I remember Meadowlark on the free throw line with the ball attached to a rubber band. I remember Meadowlark with the buckets of confetti, dumping them on the fans. I remember seeing him, lucky enough to have seen him live. Definitely saw him all the time on Wide World of Sports. And there was nobody like Meadowlark. You know, if you go to heaven for making a child happy, there may not be a heaven big enough for this guy. Because there were more kids entertained by Meadowlark Lemon than anyone I can think of. His whole life was being a Globetrotter, and he always had that smile on. And when you become an adult, you know that things weren't perfect all the time, but he never stopped smiling. He never let the kids see that they weren't perfect. And I'm not saying that there's some tragic story. I know nothing about Meadowlark Lemon's personal life. I just know that he made a lot of kids happy for a long time, and he will be missed, and God bless him. Rest in peace, Meadowlark, and whenever I hear Sweet Georgia Brown, I'll be thinking of you passing and curly dribbling, and wow, what a life to have had. God bless you, and he lived into his 80s, so it was a long life, and good for him. That's it. That's all I got. That's the first podcast of the year. I'm sorry about all the negativity to open it up. Really, I didn't want to go there. I could do top 10 lists, but you've read them all. Movies. I saw Star Trek. Star Trek. Ah! Did I actually say that? I'm sorry. I saw Star Wars. I'll tell you the reason I said Star Trek in a minute. But Star Wars was fantastic. And I saw Creed. That was a really good movie. I didn't see a lot of the nominated films. We're going into all the awards. I don't see a lot of films. I see movies. I did see Bridge of Spies. Bridge of Spies was great. I haven't seen Concussion. Judging by the money, not many people have, but I'm sure it's a really good movie. And that's it. Now, the reason I said Star Trek is because I had cruising on the brain, because I'm about to leave on my cruise segment of my career. Next week, January 7th, 8th, and 9th, I'm going to be performing in Bermuda as part of the Just for Laughs Festival in Bermuda that I host every year, which is a blast. Then I get on the ship and we do the Smooth Jazz Cruise. And then the following week, I stay on the ship and do the Jazz Cruise. And I love those gigs. And the same company that I do these for, they're doing a Star Trek cruise. 2016 is the 50th anniversary of Star Trek. I won't be on it, but that's why I accidentally said Star Trek instead of Star Wars, because I was getting ready to wrap up and talk about these cruises. Can't imagine how crazy that one's going to be. But I will be at sea. I'll be having fun. I will try to record another podcast while I'm out there. The internet service is sketchy, and I'll do what I can, but I'm going to have a great time. I will be back. I will be back, and I will be performing on dry land January 28th. I'm going to be at the Music Box Theater in San Diego with a gentleman by the name of Mark Christopher Lawrence. Now, you may not know the name, but you'll certainly recognize the face when you see it, because Mark Christopher Lawrence has been in numerous movies, and he's a great guy and very funny. And we've been trying to put together something, so I'm anxious to work for him. That's January 28th in San Diego. I'll be there. I'm going to be at sea. I'm going to be talking. I'm going to be laughing. I'm going to be paying attention. I hope you are too. Thank you for listening. This is my podcast, Who's Paying Attention, episode 132. Alonzo Bowden signing off and saying happy, and I do mean happy, New Year.